Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the number one, to hate us because they ain't us, comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is episode 249, Hate is Gonna Hate. Today's we are coming at you semi-live from the Bears Den in Conyers, Georgia. That's right, both of us in the same room. And in that Bears Den, along with me shaking his head, is the dark side of positive, Charles McFall.
I don't know what you're talking about. I went to Cape Canaveral today.
You did?
Yeah.
You did? Space
yeah.
Ace?
Can you see me? Because you know, I can't see you. I can't see you.
Are you a space ghost? Is that why I can't see you?
Ah, coast to coast. Always. So what are we talking about today? Why are we here?
I think we're talking about hate is going to hate today.
You drink your haterade?
I did. I did drink my haterade. All these catchphrases that we talked about ahead of time, we're going to slip them all in.
In the first 3 seconds.
In the first 3 seconds.
But, you know, unlike you, I won't be done for another hour.
I don't understand.
You're done in 3 seconds.
That's what she said.
So yeah, we were back. We're back together. This is the second time in this studio, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I think
last year.
Last year we did it. So there you go.
That's
exciting. You have a whole table to yourself now.
I do, and all of your pop up toys. But I'm not hating on that kind of stuff. Ooh, you got an exclusive one.
Yeah. I got a couple of exclusive ones. We could. I cleaned them off, thinking that pushing it in the corner would be enough space, forgetting how much. You like to expand your wings so you can flap around in my studio like a dead chicken.
I like a dead chicken.
Dead chicken, yeah.
Yeah.
Dead chickens flap. I don't know.
Yeah, they do. We had a ranch and yes, they do. Dead fuckings do chuck. If I can say that right. Dead chickens do flap. I don't know why we're talking about this. Hopefully it's entertaining to you. But today's episode, Haters Gonna Hate. Now, where did we come up with that? Was that you? Was it me?
What were we talking about? So we were discussing. I'm trying to get back into the chat room.
The past tense. We were discussing.
We were. You were. We were talking about what a relief and how I had talked with Carl. Damn it, Carl, who's your partner over there, and that there's obviously with IRUSA and the whole Muslim thing, there is definitely
for those who don't know, IRUSA is Islamic Relief USA. It's a nonprofit that goes out and helps people in the USA and around the world. They are there basically when there's a disaster like the floods in Louisiana or anywhere else, you know, tornadoes, things like that. The Red Cross goes in and calls IRUSA, and they bring boots on the ground people to help out and with money and whatever else that they need by being there. So they have their own podcast called What a Relief, because it's a relief fund, the What a Relief podcast. And I am a co-host on it. They asked me to do that. And we did a show that I am specifically proud of, and I'll find the link to that show. And it's where we interviewed a woman actually while she was at the UN, and she was there for a multi-faith conference about women's issues around the world. And I really liked the interview, although I'm calling in from my tablet because I did not have I was somewhere else. I wasn't near my computer. And it was just I really liked the topics we touched on and everything. And I wanted to see what people said about that episode. But what we were getting, what they weren't talking about the episode at all. They were just, you know, hating on the Muslims. Whether they're Americans or not Americans, it didn't matter. They're like, go back to where you came from. And he's like, you know what, like Jersey? So that's it. Now, how do you stand up in the face of that kind of hate, whether it's you know, called for or whether it's something that they don't even understand, they're just scared, or whatever it is that you're standing up for. There's right now, I think it's this week that people are at the nation's capital. I think it's called Democratic Spring, and they are protesting against the money in Congress and the way that people are elected and Citizens United, and people are getting arrested left and right to the point where the jails are full, where they're arresting them from. So how are you going to stand up in front of that to effect a good change. And that's what we're talking about today.
Oh, well, that went a little different from what I thought we were talking about.
Well, I mean, there's more. You're going to bring what you have to bring to the
table. I didn't realize George Clooney was going to come in and talk about how he gets arrested in every other country in the world for protesting. No, that's cool. Yeah, I was actually thinking about when we talked about haters. Specifically, I talked to Carl about a show where you had a singer on. And in Carl was telling me, because he was discouraged about it, this and that, about people picking it apart. And then he realized in the title, in the description, nothing in the write-up of this show mentions this guy's singing career or that he even sings a song on the show. It really just talks about the topics of what you guys discussed. So at the end of the show, which is typically, what, an hour long-ish, give or take?
No, like 40 minutes.
Okay, 40 minutes. But anyway, at the end of 40 minutes, you guys have him on the spot, do a song or something, you know, along those lines. And one of the first hate things he got back on it was something along the line, I'm not quoting here, but something along the lines of God, I hate his music and it's horrible and you should go back to Muslimistan or whatever they said that he should go back to. And it really upset Carl for a little bit. And then he was like, wait a minute, you had to dig through the show to find that moment to hate on it. And I went, congratulations, you win. You should print that out and frame it, put it on your wall, because by all means, he had to listen to the entire show and find something that he hated to come out and really bash you with it. And the fact that you didn't mention the songs or whatever means he listened all the way to the end and found that he could launch his hate platform from. So I wanted to talk about the different rings of life, you know, our social circles, as it were. You have the strangers. I've been calling them the strange crabs on the outside. That there's always somebody who's going to watch the world burn. There's always somebody who's going to tear down what you do, period. And then you start moving it in, and there's different levels for everybody. But then as you get towards the core is your family and your very close friends and family that have been with you for a very long time. That hate, that kind of holding you back is hard to deal with. And then, of course, the inner core is yourself, how much you hate on yourself and tear down your own thing. And so I want to talk about different levels of that. So I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation along those lines. What else are we doing?
I think that's we might have something interesting at the On Beyond section of our show. Depends on what the show develops into. I've had there's been interesting things happening in life, so to speak. So yeah, we may get into that at the end of that.
So Laura DePooter is in the chat room, and so is Sherry Lowry and some others. But she says, Laura says, I totally need this show today. Had a weekend of hate and need to totally drop it in the dirt and trample it. That's what she said.
So I think the show is going to be about just even in our own individual lives, how do you stand up for something? How do you stand up something? I mean, it could be as simple as something that you believe in. You know, Dad wants me to be a lawyer, but I want to be an actress. And, you know, and how do you stand up for yourself in that in the face of somebody who disagrees with you?
Somehow I feel like that's a personal story from your life.
No.
Dad wants to be a lawyer, but you want to be an actress.
No, my mom wanted me to be a preacher. And then because she knew people that owned the funeral
church.
Oh. She wanted me to do that. And I guess, you know, actor is me.
What is with that, right? Parents sometimes, just because they know somebody who has a job,
right,
that they want you to do that job. It's like, what? Why?
Well, to be fair, what? Funeral directors make bank, and people, you know, they're not going to run out of people dying.
Well, I guess there is.
It's job security that, for sure.
But yeah, I remember being a kid, and we lived in farmland, and so my mom was always, you know, maybe this is a little bit harsh words, but it's what it felt like. My mom was always pimping me out to the farmers for less than legal wages. Because I could bring home some of what I picked. Right, and that would feed the family, which we weren't that big. God, we need to do a show on poor mentality versus actually being poor, but that's a whole nother show. And that was the thing. The guy was like, I'll give you a knife, and I'm already at a preteen and teenage years. I hit 6 foot even when I was 14 years old. So I was already a big guy even then. And he's like, yeah, you picking cucumbers, which is on the ground. You'll bend over all day with a little knife to cut the stem of the cucumber and throw it, and that's it. And I was like, thanks, but no thanks. And my mom was so mad at me. I'm like, you go pick it yourself. You quit pimping me out.
Mama, work smarter, not harder.
So
does she understand what you do now?
I don't think so.
She's not gotten there. I thought that by now she might have gotten there.
I we don't talk that much. I don't know. But you know what? We're gonna hit the wall here. So go check out successfreaks.com/nothing because we want you to go to successfreaks.com. So don't do the actual /nothing. I just in the habit of saying / for some reason. But successfreaks.com has all the podcasts, the videos, the blogs, everything you can need. And of course, our book is up there as well. So check that out. We'll be back in just a moment.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show, Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 249. Haters gonna hate, and we are talking about the different layers, the different circles of hate.
Hate is like an onion. Just peel it, and then you dip it in batter and you fry it up.
It's like a level of hell. The lowest one is the ice covered one where all the traitors belong. So
I don't know that level.
Yeah, when hell freezes, when people say, yeah, when hell freezes over, well, actually, the lowest level of hell is supposed to be. That's where Benedict
You're talking about Dante's Inferno?
Yep.
Very, very cold things.
Very, very cold. Anyways, last time I went, it was that way. They might have, you know, warmed it up.
Last time you went to hell? Is that way? Is that what you're saying?
I've been watching Lucifer on TV a lot lately.
I got behind on Lucifer, but yeah. Did it get better? Yeah, all right, that's not what we're here talking about.
Anyways, hate is going to hate.
Yeah. They're going to hate this segment, how we opened it up. But we're reading from the chat room because I wanted to know a little bit about why people need or why they wanted to hear about the hate today and what was going on. And a little background, Laura DePuter is one of our regulars, and she deals with horses, and she was a volunteer coach for a team. And over this weekend, she was giving her time to coach this team who actually apparently rode very well and ended up winning the event this weekend or this past weekend, whatever it was. And then parents who hadn't helped at all got up in her face and were yelling at her about 10 seconds of music, not about the coaching, not about her style, not about winning or losing, but music apparently. So that to me definitely shouts, people will look for something wrong. And that's, man, that's one of the reasons I bring the bear out so often anymore nowadays. I just don't put up with crap anymore. It's just because, really, I'm just reading into her situation now. I put in X amount of hours preparing for this. I sat here all weekend, gave you my weekend, and led your kids to victory, and you want to nitpick some music, and you want to, hey, I mean, the way she writes it is they didn't just say, well, you know, we really wish you hadn't played Your Baby Got Back for our daughter's ride or something. I don't know.
Was that what it was?
No, she didn't say what the music was. You know, I wish you hadn't played Fetty Wap about saying the N-word all the time. You know, I doubt she played anything bad.
That is not what she played.
I'm sure she played something fine. I have a similar situation to talk about later. But the thing is, I'm sure they didn't come up nice. I'm sure it was like, what do you think you're doing? You know, man, and that kind of goes into some of what you're talking about with your protests. And to me, that's the outer layer or close to the outer layer of social, of people just thinking they get away with anything.
Right. And we're going to talk about a little bit about, you know, what people, why they're doing the hating and everything, but mostly it's about your reaction to it. And what Laura did was one of the ways of handling this. You know, it became so much of a buzzkill that she said, I'm done. And she said she continued doing it through the weekend. So for the kids. So she, you know, she stuck with her commitment, her obligation, at least through the weekend instead of just quitting right then. But then you are allowed to say, I'm done with this. You are responsible for your own happiness in your life, but it's up to you to stand up for it. So one of the ways with dealing with a hater is to be able to go, I'm not playing in the sandbox anymore. I'm going to take off. We're done. I don't need you anymore. I've heard of businesses where, you know, they have clients that they're their worst clients as far as they'll complain about everything. They're always a big pain in the butt, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes they'll just go, you know what? I'm firing myself from working with you. We're done. Mm-hmm. We're done. I'm going to focus on these people.
No, I'm firing you as my customer.
Right. So, yeah. So that's something that you always have that option, and not it's not a bad thing to take it, even if you've made a commitment with somebody else. If it is such a buzzkill, if it is bringing you down, if you are having, if it is sucking the life out of you, by all means, take the zero, move on. Now, there's other things you need to do. There's other, you know, times where you need to stand up for yourself, for the for other people in the face of all this hatred, and that's not easy. What do you do when it's not that easy and it's in your face and everything inside of you is saying, you know, GTFO, you know, you're in that fight or flight mode. How do you remain calm enough that you're able to, one, deal with the person and be able to figure out why they're hating so much, if it's a legitimate thing to be able to talk to them in such a way that you're not escalating the thing so you don't turn what's going on here into you yelling at them. Okay, now it's about you yelling at me versus what the issue is, so you can keep it on the issue, you know. Well, we don't want to talk about we don't want to talk about politics here, but you look at the differences between the two debates, not the whole time, but for a lion's share, one side of the debates was them attacking each other's character, and it wasn't about the issues. The other side of the debates, it was just about the issues, even though once in a while character, you know, came into question, it pretty much went back towards the issues. If you can keep it about the issues, if you can keep your calm long enough, you might be able to deal with the hater in a positive way.
You know, what's weird about that is sometimes the opposite is absolutely true. And I'm thinking it's politics specifically, but anytime it's a public forum, politics or not, I mean, this is why reality TV does so well in the ratings, is that sometimes it's really not about being well-spoken and saying, this is the issue. And now you're talking about something that's irrelevant to the issue. It's weird as a society. Maybe we've trained ourselves this way. Who knows why, but sometimes being able to drop the mic on somebody, you know, having a big point that's emotional and funny or impressive. You know, that's why Donald Trump did so well so early on. Partially is because he didn't talk about anything real. He would call Marco Rubio "Little Marco," you know, and people thought it was hilarious. And that's my thing is like, but none of these guys and women, none of them are saying really anything about policy. This is retarded. And I take that word seriously. I'm not talking about a handicapped kid who could do better at politics than they are and actually do good for this country. I'm talking about stupid choices that make me want to smack you. You know, I didn't understand that. And that's our society sometimes. So I don't fully agree. I mean, I 90% agree. So when I say I don't fully agree, it's like I can't give you 100%. You know, thumbs up on the, how does she phrase it here? Julie Danielson says, tactfully, respectfully, and maturely. Now, you know, sometimes there's a time to go, look, here comes my voice really, really loud, and here's some words you don't want to hear because, you know, I'm the Rock Out of Podcasting and I trump you. But
and you trump them?
See, he can't take that word. He can't take that word.
No, you were cruising for that.
Get out. Just get out. There's the door. But, you know, they brought up another point. No, let me ask you this before we go to their other point, because there's some great stuff going on in the chat room today. So, obviously, 9 times out of 10, you know, 9.5 times out of 10, it is better just to go, let's just go back to the 10 second of music thing. Okay, fine. Sorry. It's done. You know, what do you want me to say now? And you move on. You know, however you respond to it, that neutral, calm, even though you might be raging inside. Because she even said, she heard other parents say, I'm glad you said something because I was going to say something too. I'm like, instantly I'm going, oh, these people told you who they were long before you got involved. Why the hell are you volunteering for this? But I'm glad that you got out in a way that was helpful to you and unharmful to you. But, well, yeah, no, man.
Can you be the rock that someone else crashes against? Can you be strong enough to do that? In relationships, I've heard about this, where whether it's the husband or the wife or the, you know, whatever, whoever is that person in the relationship, the other person is like, rah! And just very calmly saying, it's okay. This, everything's all right. I've seen a video, and it was many years ago. I saw a video of this cop dealing with this person, and this person was yelling at them, cursing at them, eventually spitting on them, and he was just calm the whole time. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Eventually, the woman went to jail. But it was, you know, there was no reaction to that. One of the things that I learned very, very early on when I was a kid in my parents' house, the first time I think I tried this, my dad and I were yelling at each other, and I just lowered my voice. And when I did, I noticed he lowered his voice. And he was still kind of rah about it, but try that in an argument sometime. If suddenly it's escalating, lower your voice. Go back to calm and see how that works out.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it. Coming into the break, I'll talk to you in the on-beyond, or not on-beyond, in the in-between about some of my experiences with that as well. But check us out, blogtalkradio.com/successfreaks. We'll be back in just a moment.
The people of many Eastern African countries are used to dealing with hot, dry weather. But sometimes, weather comes along that is just too much. Now is one of those times. Parts of Africa are facing the worst droughts in decades. While some areas are getting flooded with too much rain, livelihoods are being destroyed. Islamic Relief's local teams are on the ground, ready to deliver the emergency relief to these communities. Will you give them something to deliver?
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 249. Haters gonna hate, and we are chatting about just that. We had a long conversation in the in-between. Those of you who show up for the live show get to hear more about what we have to think about a subject, because we record this show for our podcast and for the radio, but there's a lot of stuff that happens in between. So show up every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/successfreaks, and you get to hear everything.
Or patreon.com/successfreaks. Support us at the level that is there for the extra in-betweens, and you get the MP3, which I admit I'm woefully behind on loading, but I've got stuff there. But here's the beauty of it all. When it does get loaded, you'll have access forever.
Forever.
Well, until that goes away. But, you know, basically it's not like, oh, if I sign up now, I miss all the backlog. Nope. Once you sign up at the right level, it's like a key to a room. All the stuff is sitting in the room, and you get access to it.
And then the only hate mail we have is when, you know, stuff gets posted behind the times.
Don't even talk to me about posting behind the times. We're both behind there.
Yeah.
But one of the things that came out, now I told a long story in the in-between.
Okay, we're getting back to the
show. Yeah, we're getting back to the show. One of the things that came up before we left, you were talking about a police officer, the video, the police officer, yes, man, no, you know. And I said, that's power. And then we went on and finished. But I want to talk about... That is, and the story I told in the in-between, I had all the cards. I had the power. I had the community behind me because I was a paramedic. And I'm not going to retell the story. You just have to get the in-between. I was a paramedic. I had the law behind me because what the guy was doing was illegal. And we established that he was way smaller than me, and much his loudness was all he had, you know, whereas I could swat him down in a fatal accident, if you will. I've never done that, but I have done the bravado thing before with people. Intimidation is like, I'm a paramedic, I can make it look like an accident.
But what happens when you don't have all that working for you? What happens when you have to, you know, your righteous indignation causes you to stand up to people or the man or whatever, and you don't have everything going for you like that?
In Laura's case, when somebody's just getting in your face and it sideswipes you, you have no idea it's coming. I think a lot of times we react because we feel powerless. So really, to get the calm, we have to gain the power.
Yeah.
And power comes in knowledge sometimes. Knowledge of who you are, knowing what you do, knowing why you do it helps. You know, knowing that
or
other people are idiots.
Or having all the information as well. I've argued with my business partners before, and the guy that plays Scaramouche, he will listen to an argument, but if you don't know your shiznit, if you don't know what's going on, and you haven't researched it enough, he'll bury you. So I've learned that before I talk to him, if I have a disagreement, I make sure I lurk everything up so I have all of my points of view. If I have all of that, often I'll be able to go, this is my case. And he'll be like, oh, okay, yeah. I see that. So if you have that knowledge, that also gives you a strength that even though they're yelling at you, it's almost like a child yelling at you. You're not going to freak out about it because you're like, oh, you just don't know. You just don't know it. And now I'm going to school you. I'm going to school you calmly so that you realize what is happening here and how you've erred. Sometimes people don't realize because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know. Do you realize that you're getting in my face, yelling at me in front of children? Do you realize you're doing that? Do you realize that how improper that is? Let's have a discussion over here.
That can also, see, we got to be careful with that too, because sometimes that's control. right? You're trying to control the other person by, oh, I'm going to take the high road. And I don't mean you personally, even though I keep pointing at you for some reason across the room, because that's not actually happened between us. But it has happened to me, as anybody who's met me for more than 5 seconds know, the more passionate I get about something, the more loud I get. If I'm excited, I tell a loud story. My wife has to laugh. It's like, you're getting loud. Calm down. If I get angry, I get loud. And there's been one or two conversations, there's been one or two fights or arguments with my wife early on, especially, that I'm getting loud. It's what I do. It's especially then when I was way out of control, didn't know who I was or had any power whatsoever in my life. I get loud, and she would take the high road and be like, well, you're cussing at me, or you're getting, you know, and it was that, okay, I'm gonna get louder and uglier now because you're missing the point. There's a thing to deal with here. So there's a difference between what you're talking about with the police officer going, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am.
But you see what happens right there? You're cussing. You're getting loud. Suddenly, it's no longer about the issue. It's how you're talking to somebody.
There's also a point when you can't control that.
No, I disagree. Maybe not at the level you are. Maybe if it's the first time in doing that, eventually you can get to a point where you can control that. How many people have gone to school and you're a big cusser outside of school, but you don't while it's inside school?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking, yes, you can control your language. You control how you say things. But there's an emotional point where, especially if it's not even about what you're talking about, especially in a relationship, since we went there with relationships,
right,
that it's about something else. And you've done this for me, where I've come at you and blah, 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 blah. And just like your face on now, you sit there and you look at me and I'm like, well, obviously you're not mad at me because I didn't do anything for that. So what's going on, man? That's helpful.
Yeah.
And you were the rock. You know, I do the air bunnies, the rock to crash against. But it's when that is a sign that something going on. Much like attempted suicides is a cry for help. There are definitely times emotionally when you attempt to self-destruct, if you will. You get really loud. You roar. You cuss. And that's what I'm talking about. You don't control because you don't even know what the issue is.
Well, let's say it's not somebody you know and somebody's in your face about that and they're yelling at you and they're hating on you. Sometimes the best thing to go is, listen, when you can talk to me like an adult or you can talk to me like in a calm way, then we can have a conversation. But right now, I don't feel safe, so this conversation is over. Yes, that's control, but sometimes it's necessary.
Sure.
Because then they're just this huge, they've got this huge, this impetus, this huge force coming at you. You're not going to be able to present your cases at all. You're not going to be able to say, yes, but this and this and this calmly because they're yelling at you. Right now, you're yelling at me. I don't really know you that well, so we're done right now. Sometimes that's necessary to stop the way it's happening.
And a real question, have you done that and has it worked?
I've seen it happen.
Okay.
And I don't recall right now.
Sure.
Like the example I gave with my father. Yeah, I saw it work right then.
But that was
voice.
A little different. You lowered your voice. I think we're getting to a good point here. There's a difference between leading to where you want to go, and hopefully they'll follow you. Like, I lowered my voice, and
right,
he did too. So we were able to talk versus sometimes, and I get where you're coming from. I'm trying to avoid negating that safety issue. But I have found, even watching, you watch reality TV, and you have somebody who's just losing their mind, and somebody goes, even the lady who went to jail in your police video, he's trying to lead her. Yes, ma'am, let's be polite. You know,
right.
I didn't see the video, but I assume he never went, you can't talk like that. Don't talk to me like, he was like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. He's trying to lead, and she didn't follow. She actually apparently probably lost her mind more and ended up going to jail. But he tried to lead versus, you can't talk to me that way. Or, I mean, I instantly bristle a little bit when I hear you say the words. Because I'm imagining I'm in this anger spot that I really need somebody just to let me rage for a second and help bring me back down to talk about what really is going on. And I hear that. I've had that happen to me almost, where I was unloading on somebody who was a preacher, not angrily, but I was upset about what was going on and conflicting beliefs and stuff going on in my house and family. And he was just like, in no uncertain words, he was like, I can't help you. But it was that reaction.
Right.
He was afraid of me instantly. I'm like, even as I was sitting back like I am now, and I'm crying, I'm angry, but he's supposed to be counseling me, and he got scared. And I'm like, what the hell, man? And I didn't get mad at him, but I knew I had no hope there.
Well, maybe he didn't have enough training to deal with something like that.
I don't think he had any once I look back. But
that's probably why. But if you find yourself in a situation where a hater or somebody is screaming at you and it's no longer, you cannot talk about the situation. You can no longer bring your case. It's, end the situation. It's like, okay, I'll talk to you when you're calm. Or how many people have been in a relationship where the one person just says, I'm going for a walk. We're not talking about this right now. I'm too mad. And it's not so much because, you know, they don't want the other person to be able to express their case, but because they know they wouldn't be fair and they would just yell. I'm removing myself from this equation so we can talk about it calmly later. You know, that's one thing. But what do you do when you're in the face of haters, you know, whether it's, you know, hey, look, we have a new Success Freak show and everybody, you know, and there's a lot of trolls out there. We've been fortunate. We don't have that many.
I don't think fortunate is the word. I think we've been unsuccessful in attracting their attention.
I'll take that unsuccess. But I mean, how do you deal with that calmly? And Carl had this idea to, you've seen people read, you know, tweets about celebrities that are bad tweets and they're reading that. He had this idea that some of the people from IRUSA would read some of the tweets that were not great. And what happened with there, I saw the first run and some of them were being kind of sarcastic and funny, but I'm like, that's not how you want to do this. You want to do this. You want to do this where you're still respecting them, but giving your answers, because otherwise it's going to become about you guys being douchebags. And you
or
don't
not, I would say, but them being funny versus actually answering.
Right. Right. But then they gave a different version of it. And a lot of it was received very well. Some of it was not because of the trolls that were already there.
Yeah. So we're definitely got a lot more to talk about hate. I think the chat room is lighting up with responses here. So we'll be back with more after this.
Success Freak's Guide to Dream Hunting is an honest and revealing look at tagging and bagging a bigger, badder, better, more life. Mordant and McFall discuss the trials and tribulations encountered on their path through uncharted territory, the lessons learned along the way, and how they use them to move forward. Explore what causes you to hesitate when taking that first big step into the unknown. Discover how to experience the thrill of success firsthand. A guidebook for those brave souls no longer satisfied with an average life. Success Freak's Guide to Dream Hunting. Available now at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 249. Hate is going to hate. What are you going to do about that? And we actually have a question from the chat room, from our buttercups.
So Sherry Lowry says, in response to all of this stuff that we're talking about, when I say I'm taking a walk, so we said, you know, sometimes you got to say I'm taking a walk because things are getting heated and you know you can't discuss things. She says, when I say I'm taking a walk, the one doing the yelling follows me and keeps yelling. Then what do you do? That happens to me with a family member. Do you want to go first?
Well, my first thing is keep walking. That'd be, you know, get out of there. You can turn around and say, listen, I said this conversation is over. We're not going to talk about this anymore until you calm down. If you're not going to calm down, I'm just going to leave.
Good luck with that.
But, well, I mean, they're going to keep attacking you, and that's what this is. They're basically bullying you. It's bullying. It's bullying.
That's the outside response, but you got to come. I'm coming from the yellow side.
If they will not
happen.
Respect your wishes and respect your boundaries, then that's the issue that we're dealing with.
Sometimes
right
your boundaries aren't boundaries. Sometimes your boundaries are fear and running.
I'm talking
and
about
abandoning.
This situation. Well, this person,
I am too.
Okay. Well, this person when they're
you
just
assume
like,
there's a violent or not a
you're right
literally threat of violence, but
no,
I've been
not.
The yeller. That's
no,
why
I'm
saying
not.
I'm
well,
actually the dark side of this positive.
Yelling is a form of violence. It's not physical, but it is a form of violence. It's a form of bullying. It's like, look, you won't let me get my... And I'm making a lot of assumptions.
I like good bully sex.
You're sorry. Right.
Nope, sorry, too soon. Go ahead, I'm sorry. No.
Please go ahead and make your point. I'll come back and make mine later.
All right, well, I'm coming from the
see
yeller
what I did
side.
There? See what
yes.
I did there? I
yes.
was done. I was done with that.
Yes.
Now it's your turn.
But see, I actually respected that.
Because we have that
but
kind
when
of relationship.
We, yes, but when you're in the middle... Honestly, if this were year one... It would have gotten louder,
yeah.
Right? Because I'm a yeller. And I've had this situation happen where my wife was trying to walk away. I didn't realize
right.
that it was, I really want to get away from all the emotions and I want to talk. What I knew was I'd never had anybody trust me in my life. She was the only thing important in my life. Her father walked out on her family.
Right.
That's what she knew. She talked about that. All the clues were there. Everything was there. And so instead of we were both of us were young, immature people. And both of us were damaged. My damage was yell, because I need you to love me. I'm going to yell louder until you love me or until right. I get what I need, which I wasn't getting. And I had no idea what I needed. So that's where I was coming from. Her thing was, I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I know she tried to go for a walk. But instead of going, we need to calm down. We need to talk about this sanely. I'm going to go cool off. It was just go to the door. I'm like, what the F are you doing?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go for a walk. I go. She didn't say I'm leaving. It was like somewhere in between, right?
That brings
and
up.
And I followed her. But here's what I needed. Here's what I needed because this is what bullies need. Now, I was a bully. Don't Don't get me wrong. I was emotionally damaged. I was seeking help. I was doing it in a bullying fashion. We need somebody to stand up. I needed her then, and it came later to say, fight back. Fight back. Because honestly, and I didn't know this then, but I can look back now. I knew instinctually. I'll take it. Intellectually. No, I do by instinct that if she didn't fight, she was going to lose. Right. And everybody had done that in my life. Go ahead.
They said family member, so I assumed it's not a spouse. Otherwise, they would have said.
Well, I assumed it wasn't a spouse.
I'm making that assumption. Let me make my conversation. All right, we got what you know.
You're
my
pretty.
Turn.
I love
you. Thank you. So I'm assuming it's not a spouse. And Charles brings up a very valid point. At some other time when you're not in a fight, and this may be hard for you as well, but at some other time when you're not in a fight, say, listen, I need to talk to you about this. When you do this, this is what happens, and this is why I'm stepping away. I'm letting you know, I'm putting you on notice, that if you talk to me like that, it's not okay. You don't have – this is an expression that a friend of mine has used. You don't have my permission to talk to me like that. That's the now this is your opportunity to tell me why you're doing it. And then you could have said, well, it's this. I need you to fight back. Okay, good. I get it. I understand now. So in a calm situation, you're able to address, let's address this part. Not the fight, not everything, but how we fight. What do you need? So that way you can send up ground rules with this person if you're able to talk to them. If you're not able and they will just disrespect you the whole way through, at least you've given them the opportunity to do the right thing, and then you can move on. However, if you're in the middle of the fight and you haven't set this up, you need to vacate the situation, vacate the situation. When I get hot angry, I will get up and walk away. Not say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Out the door. Because it's going to get ugly really fast. And to the point where maybe foolishly blows will happen. But I know I don't know that that's going to happen. But I get angry enough for that to happen. So I walk away.
Well, you feel like it's going to happen. And since you feel that way, it's almost already happened to you. And it sets you in a different place.
Now, that burns out really fast for me. It's hot and then gone. And then I can come back and go, okay, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Sometimes. Most of the time.
Sure.
Sometimes I get caught in the maze and it's just like, running it over in my head over and over and over again. And then a few days later, I'm able to talk about it. But if this person does this all the time and that's their go-to, maybe that's how they win fights. Maybe it's like Charles and they need you to fight back. And that's because that's, means
right.
that you care. But until you have that conversation with them, you don't know.
Right. And I will back up all of that. If it is it depends on the level of family member. I need different things from different levels of family for sure. And if I had somebody in my extended family yelling at me, I might do the exact same thing you did. Like, whatever, man. Not whatever, but I'm going to walk away because this isn't good. But I needed then, especially for her, to do that. However, we have done that. My level up, I'm going to jump into it right now. My level up is communicate as harsh and as early as you can. By harsh, I mean no holding back. Say exactly how you feel in a calm way so you can discuss. And it took a few times of talking with my wife. It took a few times of practicing it because there were other times. I broke a window, and I'm very ashamed of that. But there was one point where I'm following her around the house. And this is before we had kids, actually. And we're in this fight. And she's just trying to get away. Instead of fighting back and giving me what I needed, and I feel like she's just trying to get away. And I'm saying, we need to deal with this. But I'm doing it in a very loud and aggressive and ugly way.
Right.
And I finally took a chair and threw it through a window and said, you want to get out? Get out. Because for me, because she went to the window and couldn't get it open. And I'm like, dumb and stupid. And I'm very ashamed of that.
How old were you?
This was before we had kids.
In your 20s?
Late 20s, maybe early 30s. Yeah, late 20s, probably.
All right.
What'd
she do?
She's like, what the hell? I mean, we both had that what the hell just happened moment. And I was like, you want to escape me? But that's how I felt. I felt like she was running. I was so horrible. She was running. She couldn't even talk to me or fight back. I was so horrible. She wasn't thinking that. She was trying to deal with her own demons.
Okay, what was she actually thinking? We know what you were thinking.
We never talked about it. I don't know what she was thinking. We came back and talked about
my jaws on the table. You guys have been married how long, and you never talked about what she was feeling, what she needed in that situation.
We probably came back and talked about how to handle things better. But you got to understand, then especially, she was horrible at communication. Even when I begged her for it, we've been married almost 16 years now. No, we've been married a little over 16 years now. It took a good 8 years of me talking to get her to talk. It took almost 12 years to get her to stand up to anybody and feel good for herself.
Listeners, if you are in this situation where you are in the role of somebody who's yelling at you, and you need to talk about why what they need and what they need to do, and what does this mean to them, don't forget to give your side of it. Don't forget to give what you need out of the situation too, because if that person doesn't know, it's not fair to you, and you're still, for lack of a better word, emasculated there.
Yeah.
So that's something that if I could give Charles homework, and I know I can't, I would say, talk to your wife about this and find out where her head is with that
situation.
Well,
she won't remember now, but I do remember she did mention feeling trapped. That's all I can remember about it, because I was so overwhelmed by what I was feeling. I don't remember much, but she was feeling trapped and closed in, I guess is what it was. And On Beyond, we're going to talk about more of what goes on there and some things we learned, or not On Beyond, but in between, but more to What's Your Level Up?
Oh, my God.
Or do you want to open the next segment with it?
No, yeah, let's open the next segment with it because we don't have time.
All right. So real quick, you know, again, I'm ashamed, but we talked about how to talk to each other. And there were times later on that she just needed space and went on a drive. And I always felt bad about that because I always had in my mind, is she going to come back? You know, and she did. And sometimes that was the hard part. If you're not communicating, if you can't talk to each other fully because of your own damage on the inside, that hinders things. So communicate. And we have worked aggressively and harshly on our communication to where I can't even tell you the last time anything like that happened.
Right.
Anytime she wanted to get away, anytime she was so angry with me, she couldn't be around me. It's been years. It's been so long. I literally can't remember, you know, not that we don't argue, you know,
but your arguing is different now.
It is totally different now. Yeah. We can get loud. We can say some ugly things to each other a little bit, nothing near what we used to, but because we've gotten comfortable in our relationship, we've built a strong relationship, and we've worked on our own demons. So with that being said, you need to go to Patreon and get the in-between, because we're about to share some insights and some stories, and then we'll be back with On Beyond Success Freaks. So hang tight.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money, and even On Beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome to On Beyond Success Freaks, where we go bigger, badder, better, more into the topics of this evening. And I got to tell you, holy crap, man. This one has hit home for both of us, for sure. There's definitely different emotional things that we have. There's different backgrounds that we have, different ways we've come from it. And it's been a huge in-between discussion with the online crowd and ourselves, of course. But more that you did not hit your level up because we hit the wall. So we're going to do a level up, and then I've got a question, and then we're going to On Beyond it.
All right. If you can get to a point where you can remain grounded, where you can remain centered, basically it's having enough confidence in yourself to be able to stand up as somebody crashes against you and remain calm and keep the situation about what the issue is and not about what the yelling back and forth is, you may be able to de-escalate that. If, however, you're not able to do that, remove yourself from the situation, have a conversation about how this should happen. Mm. If you know, if you're getting in arguments with a person, let them know. Let's talk about why it gets like this. Let you know that I don't like it when it's like this. I can't operate like this. If all they want to do is win and it doesn't matter, then you at least know they don't have your feelings and your thoughts that, you know, are not. They're not respecting them. So then you take that as well. Then it's like, well, then we can never have an argument or a conversation. I'm just done with you, you know, and removing yourself from the situation if you have to. And that will bring us into what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah. Yes. I got the question. I want to say that I don't know this is true, but I've heard that you can never argue when you're naked. I don't think that's true. I think you probably could, but that indicates you still are interested in the person. But
But it becomes real. Then you get real. If there's really a fight going on, you're going to be able to do it then. I've heard that too.
I can never argue with you naked, dude.
Take off all your clothes. Well, usually it's with a spouse. Take off all your clothes. If there's a real fight, you're going to deal with it. You're both naked in front of each other. So it's not going to be, it's silly. So it's not going to be as mean. And you'll get to the issue.
The other thing that I agree with,
best pants are the no pants. No pants are the best pants.
We were talking about the feelings. There were times in fights, my wife and I would have an argument on the phone, and we always say love you to each other before we get off the phone. And this was our early on. We might have even still been dating. And she went to get off the phone with me, and we're in an argument. I was like, I said it. Even though I was mad at her, I said it, and she didn't say anything. And it's like, do you not love me? And she goes, yes. I'm like, okay, I get you're mad. I'm mad too. But this is especially when I was on the ambulance and we were apart a lot. I said, but here's the reality of life is I might not see you again. I see that way too much in life. So I never, if as long as we love each other, I want to leave knowing that, whether we're angry or not. And that hit home with her very well. And we've always managed that. And there's been fights where we had to reestablish that. We're at the end of it. Our energy is spent. And we go, let's start over. Do you love me? And whoever asked the other one would answer to the affirmative. Okay, we know that's the solid ground. And eventually we quit asking that. We knew we had that solid ground. Okay, where do we go from here? What you're talking about with your level up is getting what you want out of life. Mm-hmm. So once you burn the emotion, once you burn the fight, okay, we have love. I want to stop hurting you. That was always mine. Hers, I was too caught up in my own life and figuring out my own problems to figure out what hers was. But she would have hers. You know, we both wanted to stop hurting each other. We both wanted to stop hurting. We had to figure it out from there. And so we did. So that's very, very poignant. You know, we need to send this back in time about 15 years. I can listen to it.
This show's been really interesting because it started off as haters gonna hate and it's standing up, you know, for yourself.
But you're the biggest hater sometimes.
And right? Shut the hell up.
Not you, yourself. Me. I myself are the biggest
hater. Let me make my point. Okay, so but it's actually moved into bullying and dealing with that, and then moved into the rules of engagement, the rules of fighting. It's almost like Fight Club. These are all great titles. We're gonna call it "Haters Gonna Hate" because we called it the whole way too. But it went from in my mind, "Haters Gonna Hate" to "Bully Bully" to "Fight Club." So,
well, I think "Haters Gonna Hate" definitely covers it because when you hate yourself, you hate everything, and that's right. Where a lot of this comes from. Here's the question: we've got about 5 minutes, and then we go into the extra to cover it. So the question was from Sherry. I think she really gets angry when she's trying to talk about her successes, and to her, it can be a little success, a big success, whatever. It can be something. And immediately friends or family members jump in and start picking it apart and start ripping it down. Oh, well, you're not that good. She didn't give real examples, but I think that's all you need, sir, to really go into your area.
Remove yourself from the situation. Surround yourself with like-minded people. If they're family members and you got to be with them, stop talking about it around them because they're stealing your fire. You know, if you want to share something with them and you want them to be excited about them, share by example. In other words, do whatever you're going to do. Become successful at them. And that's how you tell them you're doing that. Because if they're stealing your thunder, then you're probably going to, and it's working, you're not going to move forward with whatever this dream is you have of yourself. Studies have shown that, and I think the study was done in a barracks. If somebody comes into that barracks that's less than, you know, physically less than everybody else, the people who are the best don't bring that person to make them better. What happens is that the whole platoon gets dragged down. So if every time, and you, even if you ask them, you have to ask them, you have to give them the opportunity to do the right thing where you say, listen, this is hurting me. You need to see something positive. If they don't respect you and respect your dreams, even if they are wackadoodle dreams, who cares? They're your dreams. Have fun with them. If they don't respect that, stop talking about that around them and surround yourself with like-minded people. And I see that hand. I see a hand in the room.
So as setting this up in the in-between, you immediately responded, I've got emotional issues with this. Give us some of why this bothers you so much.
The question was posed here differently than it was posed before. Before it was like, what happens when your friends hate on you?
Okay, go with that.
Okay. I had a friend of mine who was an alcoholic, and we spent a lot of time together. And it was just when he, nice guy, but when he got drunk, it was nasty. It was ugly. And at one point, he was talking to a friend of mine. I happened to be listening on the phone. This is when, you know, we all had phones, you know, rotary phones. And he said something about my mom, and that was it. And I was like, that's it. We're done. Hung up the phone. It was just before I went on the road, and I wrote him a letter. And just said, I'm divorcing you as a friend. And that's not the phraseology I used.
Sure.
I said, we're no longer friends. And I cited because this, and this. And I took the letter. I think it might have been before email and everything. I took the letter and I delivered it to him. just as I left. I said, goodbye, we're done. Many years later, we kind of mended the fences. I don't really hang out with them or anything or talk to them because. But he did reach out to me recently, and I said, hey, well, what's going on? And then I haven't heard back from him. So, whatever. There are times where you can divorce yourself from your friends or whoever, especially if they're hating on you, especially if they're just acerbic, if they have nothing good to say and it's sucking your life. Remove yourself from the situation. Or if it's family members and you can't, just stop talking about it. Talk to somebody else about it.
I think you can too. But with outside of family members, family's family. That's something we've taught our children inadvertently, and they pick up on it, is when they're playing, what we teach them is when we hear the little one try to go, I'm not your friend, we'll go, no, you're not. You're their brother or sister, whatever the situation is. And we make that point. And even when they are little and don't understand, they try to play, oh, boyfriend, girlfriend, we're very clear. Nope, that you got to understand, family's family. We're not even going to let you play this way. And they understand while they're friends with each other, family's first, because that's what it is, period. And you have a whole different way to handle that because we're short on time. But when it is a friend, in your situation, what I hear is they weren't really a friend. So when you had that harsh reality thrown in your face of what, no matter what they said, what they're saying is, I'm not your friend. Because if I was your friend, I wouldn't say these ugly things out loud to other people. I might say it to a close private circle because I'm venting, whatever, maybe not. But you wouldn't say that. And the fact that you mended fences and you don't hang out, you have your reasons, I'm sure. But ultimately, still, I hear, because ultimately, they weren't really your friend.
My reasons for not spending a lot of time is because I don't know that they have changed. I'm not saying they haven't, because we're separated by distance, and they say they have.
But you don't feel a loss.
But I don't want to open my... No.
And that's my point.
No.
You don't feel the loss.
And this was a long time coming. This wasn't a one incident, two incident, three incident thing, and then I'm done. This was like, we were friends for years. This is a long time coming. Finally, it was like, no more. I respect myself too much. I love myself too much.
And there you go.
It doesn't mean I'm better than you, but it does mean that I ain't going to put up with your shiznit.
All right. So with that, we are going to get out. There might be some extra on the end here for the live and for those who go through Patreon. I'm not sure, but I know we've covered a lot of ground. We could probably do Haters Gonna Hate Part 2 at some point. Yeah, I'm sure there's
we'll
more.
We'll do Bully.
You know, I bet based off of this show, the next time we do a Turning the Buttercups episode, that a lot of this stuff might come
We're
up.
We're about due. How about next week?
Okay. That's fine by me. I'm good.
Turning Buttercups. What month is this? April.
April.
Is next week, so.
So what that is you can go to our Facebook page. Now, we have they do, and they included us, which is very awesome. There's a closed Facebook group called Success Freaks Buttercups, and it comes from the Level Up Buttercup phrase, and it's there, and they run it, and we're in it, and it's awesome, and they come out live. Pretty much everybody in that group comes out off and on live for the show, and they really help move us forward. They have great questions. If you'd like to submit a question, you can go to facebook.com/successfreaks or email us contact@successfreaks and give us a question for next week. We'll be there to do it. So Buttercups, you're on. With that being said, I think it is time to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Success Freaks. You know what? Haters gonna hate, but love is gonna love. I love you all. This has been R. Mortimer.
I'm Charles McFall saying, I'm just a boy standing in front of a cup of coffee saying, I want to drink you. Hashtag affirmation.
Child Success Freaks. Boom, baby. I love that.